So then we move to item eight. Mr. Harris?
So item eight are our uncontested items. Before I turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair, I wanted to ask the Vice Chair, you'll notice on these permits that up front now, in response to your comment there last time, there's a key information section. I just wanted to ask if that was what you were looking for. Is that providing all the information you were looking for?
Yes, I did notice that, and I do appreciate that. It helps to see the priorities and helps to understand what the issues are, especially when these issues come up under consent, where there really is no discussion. But it does, I think, for the public as well, organize these in a comparative way, what we're dealing with, whether recycled water is involved, tertiary or other final treatment processes that may concern them. So that was my goal. Thank you.
Very good.
And if, before we, I do want to make a comment about item 11, but I'll wait and see if the board, if there are any other questions on any of the other items that you'd like staff to respond to. 11A, excuse me.
Yeah.
11A.
Mr. Yeah. Johnson.
Me?
Jordan.
Morning. Just one quick question on these. A couple of them have dual enrollment issues I just don't understand why there are so many years of dual enrollment before this gets found out, and maybe just a quick explanation on that.
Well, I don't know if I can I can specifically answer. It's just the mechanics of, you know, the regulatory environment. Some people, the process was laid out, but some people, some entities just didn't follow the process per se. And
so the burden's on the discharger to make sure that they're enrolled properly and only enrolled in one, right?
I would say yes, especially with the state general order, and so we're in essence trying to clean up the books with these items.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Any other question?
So on
11A, but
11A.
I
want to talk just a minute
Harris.
About 11A, yeah. About giving the executive officer approval to sign off on the MMPs for PASO. It's specific to this item, but not. I don't think there will be time in March, but in a subsequent board meeting, we will be bringing back to you a request for the board to authorize the executive officer to sign any uncontested MMP fines. It's really almost an administrative task. It's mandatory. We don't have a lot of leeway, and I don't believe that you have much leeway. And in fact, the Office of Enforcement at the State Board is now talking about a policy that would make the executive officer the sole hearing officer for any disputed MMPs. So what we bring back to you is really in line with what the State Board – it's different, but it's in line with what the State Board is thinking about doing. But we'll bring that back at a future board meeting.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple of questions, Mr. Harris. One was a very short one, actually, on item 11, the Casmalia project. And since we're looking at closing this permit, is there any still ongoing groundwater monitoring to look for possibly legacy effects from the previous years of groundwater contamination?
Which was that, number 11?
Yes, that was item 11, Casmalia.
I could speak to that.
Okay, go ahead, John.
John Robertson, Regional Board staff. Yes, there's an extensive groundwater monitoring program associated with Casmalia site, primarily driven by US EPA. They're the lead on this. We sit backseat on this with the Department of Toxic Substances Control, looking at the state's interests in this site. But yeah, there's a robust groundwater monitoring system on this site.
Thank you. And yes, Mr. Johnson.
So if I understand then, John, what item 11 is simply rescinding the permit for them to discharge
right.
from that site.
Right.
We had a permit that laid conditions on what their discharges had to look like. We're saying there are no discharges. We're rescinding the permit, so any discharge from that site would now be a violation per se.
Correct, and this is a specific surface water discharge. They never actually used this surface water discharge, so for them it's been an extraneous expense, and they'd like to zero that out, and we're amenable to that.
Thank you. And
Mr. Chair?
Yes, please do.
I wanted to comment on 11A, but were there any other comments on 11?
We were on 11, and I think no additional comments, so, Dr. Hunter?
Thank you. I have a couple of questions on the Paso Robles situation. First, in the explanation of what the options are, there is a paragraph on page 5 of the letter signed by Harvey Packard, I think it's attachment 1, that presents the option of an alternative compliance project as one option. Is this the possibility that they could have utilized funds toward the completion of the new treatment system? Is that what that refers to? Compliance project? Harvey, thank you.
All right, Harvey Packard. The compliance project option is limited to entities that are, what does it say here? Publicly owned treatment works serving small communities with financial hardship. And we have very few of those in our region. Paso Robles is definitely not one. So Paso couldn't use this money toward their ongoing upgrades.
I see. So, but a community that does meet that criteria would have that option. And in this case, I imagine most of these letters take on somewhat of a template, you know, in terms of explaining what the things are that are possible. Would we expand this paragraph to provide more information to say, for example, your community could meet this criteria and we would be happy to discuss or provide further information or direct, you know, help to direct your staff to understand what that option might mean? Because the way it's worded now, it really isn't clear what that means.
We can do that for entities that may meet
May meet the criteria. Okay, great. The other question I had was regards Exhibit A, and there are two things about this table, and I appreciate the detail here. There is reference to Group 1 and Group 2 pollutants, and I note the definition at the conclusion of the table really doesn't tell me enough about why they're distinguished into these two categories. Does it have to do with impact? Does it have to do with level of contamination or particular issues related to TMDLs? What is the definition?
It's an EPA definition, and it's two general classes of pollutants. And Group 1 is thought to be more of a threat than Group 2. That way they're only allowed a 20% exceedance in Group 1 and a 40% in Group 2. If you're interested, I can get you the list. It's very large. It mm-hmm. includes just about every pollutant you can think of.
Oh, okay.
They're in one group or the other.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good to know. Also, I'm aware that the Salinas River in that part, in the upper Salinas River area, does run dry seasonally. And so I'm wondering, does this table reflect when these discharges occur into dry riverbed versus flow?
No.
And there's no change in the determination of impact?
No.
So if they are discharging copper or, by the way, what is biochemical oxygen?
Biochemical oxygen?
Biochemical
oxygen.
Right.
That's BOD, the biochemical oxygen demand. So it's the measure of organic loading in the waste.
So I see selenium, I see sodium, that's not surprising, and then copper. So if they are discharging these contaminants into the dry creek bed, the dry river bed, do we have any concerns that it's a dry discharge versus a flow? Do we discriminate between those two events?
Well, the discharge itself does cause the riverbed to be wetted for
a period of time.
Exactly for how far downstream, but there is habitat that the discharge itself creates. So that's why the aquatic criteria are in effect here, even though the discharge itself may be almost all of the flow.
All of the flow, which to me suggests that the concentration of these things is much higher than when it discharges into the flowing river. So I was curious how we take that into account.
There's no account for dilution. They have to meet the aquatic criteria in the discharge, in the effluent itself.
Okay, thank you. They
don't get any credit for dilution.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. I have also a question, Mr. Harris. And this is on 11A, on page 5, first paragraph, last sentence. We say the Central Coast Water Board staff will not accept SEP proposal other than those listed above as part of EPL process, which is the LID and CCAMP. And going back to the minutes of the March 14, 15, 2013 meeting, we had a board discussion and set of actions on the supplemental environmental projects. And basically, the board agreed with staff recommendation to continue using CCAMP and LID as the primary recipient of SEP funds. But it says primary, not exclusive. So my question is, if we state that we will not accept any other SEP proposal, that makes it exclusive rather than giving a primary level of consideration with the LID and CCAMP.
I can comment on that. What the EPL is, this process that is in front of you, is a settlement offer. So this is prior to the staff having issued a complaint for civil liability. So what it says is, here are the violations we think you committed. If you agree, why don't you just pay the money and we'll forgo all that administrative work. And if they agree and the law is clear, then they say, fine, we'll do it. As part of that, we've said, and by the way, SEPs are available, but in this staff process that has not involved the whole ACL process, to simplify it, we're only going to permit these two SEPs. They still have the option of suggesting or proposing a different SEP, but the way I tried to explain it at the March meeting was that to do that, they need to come to the board and go through the board process. So Pastor Robles could have said, yeah, we agree with all the violations and we'll end up paying all that money, but we want to do a different SEP. What we would do then is issue a complaint for civil liability, have a hearing in front of the board, and they would make the proposal to the board for their SEP.
So it limits their option.
At this phase, it limits their options. If we're going to do a streamlined staff process and try to limit staff's resources in resolving these issues, we're limiting it, yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification. Any other question on this uncontested item? All right.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Down here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to add to what Harvey said about the letter and the offer, is that Harvey's working with the Office of Enforcement at the State Board, and under the direction of and under the umbrella of that office and the enforcement policy. And it's Chris Kerrigan as the director works with us and directs us, and the process that Harvey outlined is directed by the Offices of Enforcement and Chris Kerrigan. So that while the option is limited, more limited than it used to be years ago, that is under the direction of the Office of Enforcement.
Thank you.
I'll move to approve items 9 through 11A as per the staff report.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.